When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Unfortunately, we've run out of time today. Whatever it means for you in your club, we'll talk about that later.
Welcome to episode 99 of the We'll Talk About That Later podcast about football. Since you're listening to us, subscribe and follow on whatever listening platform. And also follow us on Instagram and Twitter, which is at WTATL official. Let's get right into the games. The first game, which is our
not
spotlight.
Not even a how are you, nothing like that, no?
Tanya, you're late. You can't talk. You shouldn't be given, you know, like, oh, just, we're going to go straight into it. The spotlight game was Liverpool versus Chelsea. First proper big clash of the season, maybe. Oh, no, wait, second. Tottenham versus Man City, I guess.
Well, we played in Chelsea last week as well, innit?
No, we don't count.
Do you know what? I was going to drop that in and I thought you did that on purpose for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely done that.
Second big clash of the season. Everyone was like dying to see how Lukaku Van Dijk would turn out. I thought it was interesting. What did you guys think of the game?
I feel like with Lukaku, he always wants to try himself against a top centre back. But, like, you know, whenever you're playing against two centre-backs and you're the lone striker, I would always go to the weaker centre-back. Well, I wouldn't say Matip is a weak centre-back, but he's the weaker of the two. So I would try myself against him. But then he kept on trying it with Van Dijk, and Van Dijk was really dealing with it. I think one time he done Matip and then one time he did Van Dijk. But apart from that, they really dealt with him quite well.
It's so quite difficult. What I felt Lukaku did well was when he played with his back to goal, like, and he was, especially when they were down to 10 men, and he was like bringing Mount and Havertz into the game.
They were making some silly decisions at times, especially Mount. Lukaku and Chelsea could have capitalized on it. You know, there was a couple times in the first half, really, after they went
poor
ahead. If there was like a ball, I think first time, I think it was Jorginho, he missed the pass, he didn't, and then he played it to Lukaku, who then missed the pass as Mount was coming through. So it was just like there were times where Chelsea really could have capitalized on it on the break. But what do you think, sir?
Man, call me sir. I thought it was interesting, you know, to watch that. I think the red card spoiled what would have been a spectacle, and also spoiled, I guess, being able to kind of put to the test where each team is at the moment, because you know it literally changed the whole game. It meant Chelsea kind of sat back a bit deeper, and that's not a dig for any Chelsea fans out there, because I think any team with 10 men coming to Anfield or one of the other bigger stadiums in England, you've gone away to Chelsea or away to City, and you lose a man, you're going to shut up shop. It's just the way it is. And that's not to say Chelsea played bad. I do think it was a bit of a missed opportunity for us, particularly when Chelsea, you know, they played the whole second half with 10 men. Started really well with that Havertz header, which was a really good header. Perfectly placed, gave the keeper no chance. Great ball whipped into the front post with power. Kind of done half the job for Havertz. But yeah, for me, it was interesting. And like I said, the red card spoiled what would have been a way for us to kind of gorge where each team is at.
Yeah.
But there's plenty of time for that. On that note, what did you think of the red?
Stonewall for me, you know.
Yep, Stonewall.
Although, the only argument against it is that it came off his thigh first, but it was going in the goal.
I've got the rule. So there's this guy called Dale Johnson from ESPN who, after every weekend of Premier League football, kind of runs through the quote unquote controversial decisions of the weekend that VAR had a say in. The new handball rule is essentially just, and I'll read this out to you guys. It's where a player denies the opposing team a goal or an obvious goal scoring opportunity by a handball offence, the player is sent off wherever the offence occurs. So a goal was denied, James couldn't be booked, he simply had to be sent off. And where I do think it was a shame he was sent off, and actually when it happened at the time I said that's incredibly harsh, but Rules are rules.
But the thing is, yeah, you know, the argument against it was, it wasn't intentional. You know, deliberate handball. Yeah. That rule doesn't exist anymore. But also, do you remember when, what's his name, Stephen Taylor for Newcastle, when the ball blasted against his hand and then he pretended like he hurt his ribs? Yeah. That wasn't intentional, but it stopped the goal.
Like, it has to be intentional.
No, that doesn't exist.
Yeah. But yeah, that stopped the goal. It has to be.
Either way, I think, like, it, as everyone has said, it's going in a goal. And there was a lot of people arguing that, oh, Liverpool got the penalty. Why does James have to be sent off? But I think it's different if you bring a man down.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But to be honest, I think handball has always been a sending off, like in the in that kind of situation. Yeah,
yeah. A lot of Chelsea fans were annoyed at the fact that he just took one look at it and didn't actually.
Well, it was obvious to him.
And people were complaining that they were looking at a still image. Like, Tuchel came out after the game and he was like, "It's unfair that he's just looking at a still image."
Nah.
Mm. But I think even if you're not looking at a still image, the facts are it hit Reece James's hand. Mm. He has to go.
Mm. And I think as well, when the ref is walking over to have a look, he's got VAR in his ear saying, "Look, this is what we've seen has happened. We want you to now go and have a look at this for yourself." It's not as if he's gone in to look at that. And I know he's looked at it quickly, but he hasn't gone into that blind. He's got people speaking to him in his ear who have watched that a couple of times over already. But like I said, I do think it was a missed opportunity for us. I don't think we played well, and I don't think we dominated the ball, which you would expect with Chelsea down to 10 men and the game being at Anfield. But outside of that, we didn't create much. We forced Mendy into some decent saves, but most of them were long ranges. So for me, it's about dusting ourselves off. I take a point from that. You know, it's not disappointing. 7 points to start the season after 3 games.
It's Chelsea as well.
It's like Chelsea.
Champions of Europe,
you know, all of the big boys have to play each other throughout the course of the season. Mm-hmm. Plenty of points to be won and dropped. So for me, it's take that point and move on. I was glad to see big show of faith in Harvey Elliott again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he had a game.
And he played really well.
When you said there was a missed opportunity, because I feel like if Firmino didn't go off injured, and especially down to 10 men, if you had brought on Jota, then you probably, instead of having Jota replace Firmino, because Liverpool, I feel like now, they sort of need to find a different solution to when they're playing against a deep block. Because at times, it gets a little bit predictable. And predictable is okay, because most of the time it works, isn't it? But especially against Chelsea, you know, they've got 3 good defenders. They've got midfield that press well, and they've got midfield that retain the ball well. And their front 3 all press like animals. So
and
it's very hard.
Lukaku.
And on top of that, you've got a big counter-attacking threat. But then whenever the ball was coming, Lukaku was isolated for most of the second half. Mm. Van Dijk was sweeping up time and time again. But Liverpool needed something a little bit, maybe like a... I don't know. I don't really rate him, but the qualities that Ox does have is that he can dribble through midfield.
Uh-huh.
So maybe if he brought him on then, or with, I don't know, if he ever's going to work out with Naby Keita. But I do think maybe he could have had a little bit more of a creative threat in terms of like trying to break down that defence, you know?
Yeah. You know, but yeah, a lot of credit has to go to Chelsea, because they were restricting Liverpool to shots outside
brilliant.
The box. And
absolutely brilliant.
And a lot of times, like we said, Lukaku was the out ball. Jorginho did really well to get Chelsea out of certain situations, especially in the second half, as like Liverpool were winning the ball back really quickly at times. Mm-hmm. And then Jorginho would maybe like hold it for a few seconds, get people like up with
pitch,
him, and then it just sort of helps that you've got a player of the quality.
It's hard,
Lukaku,
man, but you've got players like Jorginho and Kovacic who are like press resistant, and then I feel like Alonso was the weak link in the game. I don't think he had a bad game, but he was the one. He was the area.
I think he had a better first half.
Yeah, and the thing is, Liverpool were tripling up on him, innit? So I thought it was very interesting, the tactical shift that they had, where Harvey Elliott started quite wide in the first half. Salah came in and then Trent went into midfield.
Jürgen Klopp mentioned that. I don't know if it was in the post-match press conference. It might have been in an interview the day after or something. But one of the reasons he started Harvey Elliott on the right of the midfield three, which is usually Henderson's position, and Henderson played on the left of a midfield three on Saturday evening, was because he's really impressed with that triangle that Trent, Harvey Elliott and Salah are kind of working with. They did it against Burnley, did it again against Chelsea. So I think we're going to see more of
is
that.
Is he like a first, like, is he one of like the first names on the team sheet in terms of that midfield three? So Hendo, Fabinho.
I don't know. It's an interesting one for me, because I said it before the season started. I think he's due a big season.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think it would be this early on that he'd start 2 games on the trot, particularly against Chelsea. The Burnley one I was a bit surprised by, but I thought, you know what, this is a good chance. Anfield, early kickoff. and it's Burnley. Yeah. Chelsea one took me a bit more by surprise, but what it did show me is that he's more than capable, more than ready.
He looks
he's
ready. He's only going to get better.
But that's that old saying, isn't it? If you're good enough, then you're
old
enough.
100%.
But he looks comfortable at this level. Like, he was demanding the ball. There's only a few players you see at that age, like Foden, Jack Wilshere back in the day, even Ramsey as well. I like those kind of players who demand the ball always, and always showing for the ball. And his teammates are comfortable passing the ball to him.
Absolutely. Yeah, you got to have trust. You got to have trust. But it's interesting as well because he predominantly, you know, when he was at Fulham when he was younger and when he came to us a few years ago and when he went out to Blackburn on loan last season, predominantly most of his minutes came from a kind of wide right position. So it's even more like trustworthy of Jurgen Klopp for me to kind of have him in the middle of the park because that's where games are won and lost.
Yeah.
Right in the middle of the park. You control the middle of the park and more often than not, you win the game, provided you take your chances.
Well, we're going to talk about Mr. Expected Hugs, Mr. the Spanish Jack Cork.
Listen, we shouldn't ever be in a position to talk to anyone for the rest of the season.
We'll get to that in a second. But I just mean, like, is he like ever going to stop getting dropped for 18-year-olds?
What is that?
No, he's not getting dropped. Yeah. He was the last player to come back for pre-season. And I know people are saying, but
can I rephrase the question then?
Yeah.
What do you expect from Thiago this season? Or what would you like to expect?
Listen, I think what you lot are forgetting is that the season is young. I would prefer for you to ask me that question in December or January when there are games every 3 days. And I get that you guys...
I will, though.
I know you will. Because I know it's less about the quality of Thiago for you and more about just...
Agenda.
No, I know.
Not for me.
I'm not lying about it.
I asked that question mainly because... obviously, he had an injury-hit season last season.
Exactly.
His first season. And then, you know, we didn't see him play for Spain in the Euros. And then, obviously, you started the season with Harvey Elliott, and he hasn't featured. I know that he was the last one back. But so, I guess my question comes more from, like, as a fan of Thiago, because he's a fantastic footballer, what are your expectations as a Liverpool fan? Because he's a member of your team.
No, he will come into that team. He'll start many a game this season. You're forgetting this is the guy whose last game for Bayern Munich, which wasn't too long ago, and he came into Liverpool, had a massive injury hit season. This for me is the season where he kick starts. But his last game for Bayern Munich, he controlled the game in the Champions League final and ran the show. This is a quality world class player we're talking about in Thiago, and I don't think you can judge him off of last season because he's the type of player you would have been salivating over when he was at Bayern Munich. And I really think that, Abdi. And you're looking at...
Abdi, definitely.
100%.
I don't salivate over much. I mean, is he Saka level? We'll see, you know. But like,
Abdi definitely would have said, my dream is Thiago or something like that.
100%.
I never in my life said
that. Yeah, Abdi, you would have been screaming transfer window champions.
If we signed Thiago.
If you signed Thiago.
Go on then.
I was going to say, I'm really annoyed at how the game went because I actually felt it was a proper contest in that first half. Like, it was really entertaining to watch. Like, that red card, as you say, it completely ruined the game. And you're kind of left thinking... It's not. We can't really say Chelsea are title contenders yet. Liverpool are title contenders. Yes, it's still early, but I just wanted it to be a proper.
I mean, that's the same for every team. You can't if you can't say it for Liverpool or Chelsea yet, then you can't say it for anyone.
No, you can't. But it's just a shame.
Can't say it for who's top of the league right now.
Winning the league.
Oh, we get to that stat of top and bottom of the league.
For
the first time. You wanted to run agendas and jokes, but
you talk too much.
And you're forgetting your segment's still to come.
All right, so today is obviously today for us is transfer deadline day. For you tomorrow, who is listening, that was yesterday. But Mark, are the lack of signings a concern to you going forward?
Yeah, absolutely. I think. It goes to show now that if Firmino does end up being out for a couple of months, then our front three of Mane, Jota, Salah, we're going to have to wrap them up in cotton wool because we've got no substantial quality. Not a player who can come in and you can kind of say, look, there won't really be too much of a drop in quality. Origi hasn't even made a single squad this season. Minamino, is good, but he doesn't really get the chance to show what type of player he is. Plus, again, like I mentioned before, in terms of that drop off in quality, I think we need to, and I've been screaming this for months now, goal scoring number 9, because that's the type of player that we lack when you look at our front three. And I'm not saying it's a goal scoring number nine who comes in and takes someone's place, but we need options.
Yeah.
Mm. Someone who can play across the front three.
Someone who can play across the front three.
Well, if in an ideal world, are we talking
like realistically or just
no ideal world?
No, let's have both. Let's have both. Realistic. Yeah,
well, ideal world, it would be Haaland.
That's and exactly it what my friend wouldn't. Be, Liverpool are big enough to go get.
Yeah, and realistically, well, Haaland is realistic, yeah, but definitely. we just don't spend money.
You should be thinking about any other option. You're Liverpool,
yeah. Of course, that's what I think. And
that would work. That would be sweet. Oh my god.
So that would be the one.
Do you think him and Salah can play in the same team?
Yes.
Because they will fight over greediness.
No, and I think like world class players can play together.
That's great.
And plus, I think it's such a myth that Salah's a greedy player because you watch Liverpool and he's one of the most selfless players.
Who was it
who
played that outside of the ball?
Salah.
Cross for? Who was it
for?
Who was it for?
It was Mane, I think.
What a cross.
I think he's got the fourth most assists in the Premier League in the past like three seasons behind KDB, Trent, and Robbo. The guy is not a selfish player, but I think that would work. But if we're talking realistic, I would have been sniffing around maybe Danny Ings this summer for short term.
Definitely. Same, I would have as well.
But yeah, I do think we need to strengthen again. We're a little bit light in centre mid because Wijnaldum's gone and he played majority of our games last season. Really fit and reliable centre mid, and we haven't replaced him. And I'm just a little bit worried about if Trent gets injured.
Yeah, I was thinking the right back option.
And then who fills in for him? Because obviously
it'll probably be Joe Gomez, isn't it?
Nicole Williams and Joe Gomez, but you're losing a lot.
Taking
Trent out of that team, so it's just a little bit worrying for me. You know, he's away with England. He's going to play a lot of football this season. So we just got to hope that we're lucky. That's what this is now. This season, we have to hope that we're lucky with injuries.
Do you think now Trent is playing this new role where he's tucking in a bit more? Because Wijnaldum's not about that. You need a little bit more added quality in centre mid.
I just think it's
more to Harvey Elliott.
No, I just think we're evolving, and I think Trent's evolving, and I think it's less about Trent patrolling that right hand touchline, which he's so good at.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right with Harvey Elliott. So Harvey Elliott can be the overlap for Mo Salah, and it means Trent can kind of tuck into that midfield, and that happened quite often against Chelsea and Burnley. You're right. But I think it's more an evolution of the way that young Klopp's trying to make us play football as well.
In the second half as well, he got Salah to stay a little bit higher and wider. Mm. But I think with Salah, especially at that point of the game, I felt Liverpool could do with like a different type of winger, like someone who's very good 1v1 and beat, especially because Alonso was lagging at that point.
Yeah, someone like, again, we're going back to transfers, but it's clear and evident we're not making that big money transfer that the likes of City and Chelsea and United have made this summer. But someone like Sarr at Watford, Rafinha at Leeds, Adama, those types of players where...
Just impact off the bench, yeah.
Beat their man and create a chance because, like I said, one of the things we were lacking against Chelsea, even with a man extra, was that chance creation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was all a bit in front of Chelsea.
Yeah.
It must be annoying though, like seeing other teams like spend money and Liverpool aren't.
It's so annoying. I'm telling you right now, it's so annoying.
But do you need that much?
We don't need that much, but it's not our starting 11 that really needs drastic improvement. No, it's the depth. And like I said, you know, midway through the season when legs are tired, you've got little niggles, you know, there are one or two players with injuries that are keeping them out for a month or two.
Mm-hmm.
Who have we got to step in? And like I keep kind of saying, we need luck this season.
Especially in December.
Surely there's players you could have signed. Like Suma, perfect.
Not replacing Gini is still
going to a Premier League club and shipping 40 million. That's what he's talking about. It's not that kind of signing.
Or you could have just got in Renato Sanchez or something.
Yeah. Gini played, I think it was 52 games I was reading for us last season. And
has he ever been injured since he's been at Liverpool?
Barely gets injured. Mm. And it's a void that we should be replacing. And for me, it's just... Baffling is the wrong word because... I can't have anything but trust in Klopp. In Klopp and the board because
my man's gone, isn't it? Michael Edwards.
It's rumoured. Rumoured.
I mean, I guess it can be baffling because you don't have to understand everything. Like there will be some things that confuse you. But it's not you. If you're confused, doesn't mean that you're questioning Klopp. It just means that
I'm not
from the outside looking in. It just doesn't look how it.
I think we had the opportunity, we might have one more opportunity next summer, depending on how this season goes. We had the opportunity to strengthen from a position of strength. i.e. we won the Champions League, we didn't strengthen. We signed Adrian and Sepp Vandenberg, who's doing pretty well on loan at Preston. We won the league.
And obviously.
And barely strengthened again. And it's like, what do we need to do to really strengthen that squad? Or is that enough for the honours, the league and the Champions League? And is it now we're content with just securing Champions League football every season? I don't know.
Is it kind of like, obviously it's a bit different because you actually won the trophies, but is it a bit like the situation at Spurs where they were like, they had this really good team and it was pushing, and then they were like, you know what, we've hit this plateau. And
no, I hear what you're saying, but it's different because we won two of the biggest trophies like, there are.
So I didn't get to finish my question. I lost my train of thought. But back on it, is like, do you fear that the fall off may not be as drastic, but can be that there will be a fall off, and that you're more concerned in just staying in the top four as opposed to?
No, I don't know, because I think our starting 11 is a match for anyone's in the league. Yeah. I really think that, and I don't think that was the case with Tottenham at the time of your, when you were, you know, really good a couple of years ago when you made Champions League final. I could really say with confidence, just starting 11s only, we're up there, you know. But it's going back again to that depth. If only if it was that easy, and everyone needs to stay fit. And these seasons are long. There's, you know, 60 games if you go far in the Carling Cup and the FA Cup, as well as the Champions League. So
that's a Carling Cup.
We're a League Cup, Carabao Cup.
Old school. Called Carling for like 10 years.
So it'll be interesting to see where we're at. And I think January will be important. We see where we're at. If we're still up there, you know, challenging with City and Chelsea, then I think we need to strengthen and use that momentum. Mm. But we'll see what happens.
Okay, last word on Chelsea. News has come out that they're...
Can't believe
that
it.
They've confirmed the loan signing of Saul. From Atletico Madrid. What do you guys think?
They're just outrageous. Do you know what? Today I tweeted, because I could not believe Chelsea fans were moaning about the transfer window, saying, oh yeah, we've only signed a goalkeeper and Lukaku. Only.
Well, a third choice goalkeeper.
Are they kidding me? They're such spoilt children, Chelsea fans. I'm so sorry, but...
Yeah, they've got like two first 11s in that squad.
And now this signing, I mean, good signing from what
it's
I hear.
It's a fantastic signing.
It's a brilliant signing.
I mean, a lot of people would have, you know, snatched your hand off if you're offering.
So what's like the ins and outs of the deal? So it's a loan deal?
It's a loan deal.
I just agreed, yeah.
It doesn't look like there's an obligation to buy it. But no, I mean, if it goes well, Kovacic has been rumoured to leave Chelsea for so many summers now. I can see kind of Kovacic moving on next summer, Sal coming in on a permanent.
Might just swap places.
maybe, yeah. But you know what? This transfer window has been a bit crazy, that we're seeing a lot of loan deals.
Yeah,
we're not seeing a lot of permanent. I mean, I guess we are, but not as... I'm not expecting like big clubs to make loan deals as much as they've made.
Yeah, I agree.
But we spent a lot of time on Liverpool and Chelsea. Let's move on to the massacre.
Oh God, this is going to be a very long segment.
No, it's not. It's not. The Saturday morning massacre, which saw Man City.
Why is he laughing, man?
Because it's funny. It is funny.
I was the only one laughing.
No, you were busting up there.
No, but it is funny. Like, Arsenal are a joke. And,
do you know
and Amazon are filming all of this.
I honestly feel if you're a rival fan and you're enjoying this, you're actually a spiteful
person. Do you know what? I'm not
which
even going to lie.
Which Mark keeps, you know, mentioning in the group every
oh,
every
you know Amazon
are days.
Watching this, you know, bro.
No, yeah, every couple of days he's like, oh, you know, Amazon.
Andy, I told you, yeah, you know when you can't make like for you those of you that don't know, Abdi is a rascal. This guy tries to make me bite in the group chat probably about 3 times a day. So
that's
I
not
thought,
fair.
You
were going
what?
At me last week after we beat West Brom.
Why are you getting emotional?
You were the one who started it on me. That's why. And convincingly.
Just for context, Abdi was gassing the Aubameyang hat-trick, and I said,
I wasn't
come on, man,
Junior was saying he's Chuckle Brothers and all this finished, yeah? With look, but 24 on, hours later, he scores a hat trick. Less than 3 to 5 working days, he's scoring a hat trick.
And then a week
yeah?
later,
so
you stopped up after 60 minutes.
And then what happened on Saturday?
All right, let's talk about what happened on Saturday.
Anyway, one half of the Chuckle Brothers did start that game.
No, don't disrespect my boy, innit? If you're going to disrespect anyone, you disrespect Mikel Arteta, yeah?
Yeah. You are
you're going to have to tell me how to spell that one.
He's honestly, I've no, Yesterday, I lost my head. You lot know, innit? I lost my head. I was going mad.
Not just yesterday.
So
Saturday, Sunday, imagine, Monday, today.
You're about to watch your team play against the champions and you see Kolasinac starting.
And
how Chambers do you expect me to feel, innit?
Cedric.
Firstly, yeah, I'm not trying to hear all this nonsense about, Saliba's got a future and da-da-da-da-da. When you give a shirt away to a £50 million pansy and then you start the game with Chambers, Holding and Kolasinac. Saliba's not ready yet, but those clowns are. And then we played against West Brom. Kolasinac kept a clean sheet against West Brom's reserves. Bruv, who's the striker? This guy called Kenneth Zahor. Have you ever heard of him?
No.
What's his goals record look like? No one knows that. So Kolasinac keeps
it
clean.
He's panicking, Arteta. He doesn't know what he's doing.
And then, worst in form. Honestly, I make a lot of extremes, yeah, when I'm speaking, and and sometimes I go over the top.
I honestly think.
Oh yeah, it's a shock to everyone. Honestly. I honestly think Cedric is the worst footballer in the world. In world football, no. I don't think anyone's worse.
Last season you said the worst right back in the universe was Semedo.
Take Doherty in.
Bruv, Semedo is Danny Alves compared to him. He's not good at... Did you see his stats?
Yeah.
Zero chances created, zero tackles, zero everything, 44% passing accuracy. What is he good at? He's just useless. And then we play against the best, arguably one of the best pressing teams in the world, arguably the best midfield in the league. You play with one central midfielder. Nice. And you tell Odegaard, go play. This guy played with 5-1-4.
And he dropped Lokonga as well.
Lokonga's been our best
player.
Best player this season.
I can't lie. This is not even funny anymore. Like, I genuinely...
Tanya. Come with the same energy that you do on Twitter.
Okay, mate. It is funny. I'm enjoying it.
Because this girl, yeah, she comes at Junior, I feel so sorry for you. And then I go on Twitter and she's having the time of her life.
Honestly, I want to punch your tweets.
Because, listen, I've put up with Arsenal banter for years. So I'm enjoying my time. But as a footballing fan, what is happening at Arsenal is unacceptable, and it's outright criminal.
That is the word. It's absolutely unacceptable.
It's absolutely unacceptable. And
honestly, hooliganism might be the way forward. I'm not even joking.
We
might have to send death threats. I'm not even joking. Like, that's how serious it is, the situation. We're bottom of the league with -9 goals. 0 goals scored this season.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm watching my team bottom of the league and Tottenham top of the league. Three games. Why is this not a dire situation? Why are you guys not...
Dire, get it?
Can you stop dancing? I'm so flipping furious, man.
I'm absolutely furious.
We'll get to Tottenham being top of the league, but all right. Your boy...
No, he's not my boy. He's not anyone's boy.
Mr. Granite.
He's not my... Honestly.
Oh,
Granite.
God.
No brain Xhaka. No brain Xhaka. Goes in for a two-footed off-the-ground tackle.
If it's a last-ditch situation, the ball's about to go in the net, then do it.
He's a bit hard. What? He won the ball.
What?
No, he didn't.
Some Arsenal fans were saying.
He's won Jao Cancelo's leg. Yeah?
I don't agree.
That's why I don't care if he got the ball or anything. The rule is excessive force, and that was excessive force. And he was off the ground.
And look at the position. Why would you give him another contract?
Look at the position. Look at the position he was on the pitch. Is that a dire situation?
No. I mean, we're already dire. We're 2-0 down.
What do you think was going through his head? Do you think it was let me show them that I'm committed?
He doesn't have a brain.
Not much goes through his head, but I know exactly why. I'll tell you why. Players like that who are slow and don't have that much athleticism to get to that point of the pitch, they feel like they have to prove they are at least an athlete, some sort of an athlete, by going in like that. Chambers did it in the first half earlier on in the game. We were on an attack and then Chambers lost the ball and then he slid in and luckily he got the ball and then we continued the attack. But players like that, Chambers, Xhaka, Mari, Holding, they all do that. They all try to do these big challenges where they feel like they can be seen as, I'm at the required level.
I'm not even sure it's that. I think we've seen it from Xhaka. It's just a rush of blood to the head. He sees the situation.
Yeah, exactly. That's the whole point.
And like Abdi said, he doesn't have the athleticism to get there. So he's like, the only way I can do this is if I...
Yeah, but who's coaching him? Can he not learn to stop these rash
Xhaka
moments?
Xhaka is 28, bruv. You don't...
At that point,
you should know. You should be a big man and realize that if I slide in here, even if I don't touch Jao Cancelo, I'm out of control.
There's an element of sense to that question, though, because why is he just a whole new player when I see him play for Switzerland?
Exactly,
because
I don't understand.
International football is a bit different.
No. Switzerland, Arsenal play well. Okay, Arsenal try to play an expansive style of football. Said with as much sarcasm as you can take. Switzerland play with two lines of four or one line of five and a line of two, and he's so protected in that lineup. He plays super deep. Nothing is really on him. Nothing is on him.
Yeah.
At Arsenal, he is expected to recycle the ball, to play forward, to be the guy that, you know, that they think that he can be.
And so, also, I feel like his performances for Switzerland are a little bit overrated. Like, all right, he played well against France.
I'm not,
but he didn't play that well. He wasn't that good against Wales, and they got slapped by Italy.
I'm not
well,
out here calling them a world beater, but I think that there's still a noticeable. I would have noticed him. I haven't seen him drop a stinker for Switzerland. Obviously, I haven't watched every single one of his Switzerland caps.
I guarantee in the catalogue, there's a lot of stinkers.
There's probably, but in his Arsenal catalogue, it's not picking and choosing where the stinkers are. It's stinker every week.
Yeah. No, but that's what I'm saying. He's so protected against Switzerland. They play a really defensive style.
Mm. And this whole thing about, oh, he's a leader and all this nonsense. It's a leader, he's a coward. Bro, when he first came to the club, yeah, there was a quote that said, oh, when I was 11, my mum gave me the keys, even though I have an older brother, that I'm a leader.
I remember that.
My friend texted me and said, bruv, I had the keys when I was 9. It's not that big deal. it's just keys, innit? So he's just a fake leader. The guy is not good enough. And we went and he was out the door, you know? And we'll get to him in a second, yeah? But this whole thing about Arteta being upset about Maitland-Niles being going public and everything.
Oh, don't get me started on that.
Xhaka went public saying, I love Rome. Yeah. The club know what I want. He's multiple times said he wants to leave. He's on multiple occasions, even criticised his own teammates. Maybe it's an extreme word, but the guy's a cancer.
Do you hate him more than Emery? Because you actually despised Emery.
Yeah, but who? Xhaka or Arteta?
No, Arteta.
Both of them.
Well, they're in the top three of hate. Arteta, no. There's so many things that you... Apart from the fact that he's got poor talent identification, apart from the fact that our tactical... that our tactics on the pitch is terrible, the selections...
Well, why is he still
his man job? Management? His man management is horrific. How many players has he isolated, like, in terms of, you know, Ozil, Saliba, Guendouzi, now Maitland-Niles. It's just...
Even Ozil tweeted.
Bruv.
He said, trust the process with a broken heart. But, you know, I read something that said that because we changed tack this season in terms of, like, how we're going to go about transfers and all that kind of stuff, that Arteta's going to be given extra time and that these three games that have gone by mean absolutely nothing.
Extra time?
Because of the way, like, before we'd recruit, like, two experienced players and one young player.
Abdi actually looks so emotional.
I'm going to lose it, man.
Yeah, but why is he given extra time?
Well, I was explaining it.
And the season before, where did you finish?
But
you sacked a manager who got you fifth place, a Europa League final, to bring in a manager that's made you 10 times worse.
No, actually, Emery and
Arteta
are...
I'm sorry, Emery's miles above Arteta.
Can
I
just finish?
Of course he is, but they're both bums, isn't it?
Can I finish?
Sorry, I don't know why I'm taking this on. It's not my club.
The first season, Emery and Arteta are to blame for the 8th place finish. Arteta is solely to blame for last season's 8th place finish, and Arteta is solely to blame.
But was the football that bad under him? All right, yes. Towards the end?
No.
Arteta is so bad that he's making people forget goals. About how much of a bum Emery was, man.
Yeah, exactly. That's what happened. Like, Arteta is... It's the same thing with Wenger. People saying, like, oh, Wenger should be back now, but don't realise that for the last two seasons of Wenger's reign, we finished 5th. Emery, the football was awful. He only had
it
one tactic.
Great, was it?
Now we're moving into Arteta where we can't even create chances. So, listen,
honestly, from an outside of an Arsenal perspective, tell me one player you've seen improve under Arteta. And don't say Saka because Saka was quality before him.
I think David Luiz looked good under Arteta.
No, David Luiz was the same David Luiz he's been for the last 15 years.
No, because he got better defensively, didn't you, under Arteta?
As a team, we conceded less goals, but that was because we don't attack. So that's not a quality. It's not like your quality defensive team.
I want to move away from this. Let's talk about transfers. So Willian is now being touted as the saviour. He's so good. He's such a nice guy. He's got the biggest heart in the world because he cancelled how many of a million?
It was such a nice guy when he agreed to the 300k a week
and liked
contract.
What did he like Chelsea's Instagram post last week?
Not that, but he released a whole thing Instagram saying, you know, he really wanted it to work at Arsenal and, you know, the stuff that people wrote in the media.
Everyone could see that signing was bad.
Listen, Willian, like, you score one goal, bruv. Just take, you know, just go Brazil, earn your money, and just be done with it. I don't want to hear about Willian as the knight in shining armor. It's just nonsense. Now we're going to sign, I can't even say the guy.
Tomiyasu.
Him.
I know
that. I also like Tiramisu.
Let's not.
To be fair, like 16 million, whatever in it.
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know until you step in the Premier League. That's the thing. That's the way I am with signings.
I hope he scores against Tottenham.
If you're in the Premier League and you play well, then
you know, we've had two Japanese players at our club, and they've been like Junichi Inamoto and Michi Ryo, whatever his name is, Miyachi, and they were both. There you go. You guys haven't even heard.
No, but this one's a bit. This one, he's got a couple of years in Italy behind him.
Yeah.
Wanted by a couple of clubs. What interests me about him is that he's predominantly a right back, right? Who can play centre back.
Yeah, can play centre back.
It's interesting though. He's 6'2".
It's kind of like Tavares. Tavares is 6'1", 6'2".
Well, I don't because what Arsenal are screaming for, particularly from their right backs at the moment, listening to you guys over the weeks, is that you just for some reason your right backs refuse to overlap. Does this guy?
No, he doesn't. What I've heard is that he is quite athletic, but he doesn't have the pace to keep going up and down. And I don't know, man. I think it's an Arteta problem.
He's 100%. I don't care who comes, man. Honestly, it's an Arteta problem. We can sign in the next how long we got to the end of it. We can sign Haaland, Lewandowski, and get in. I don't know whoever. Who's available? No,
we'd be improved, but Arteta's an idiot.
Arteta is a bum. Honestly, he's so bad.
But why is he not sacked?
He's not going to get sacked because they've invested too much in him.
Edu will get sacked before him.
No. This is why I'm saying you fans need to write, because I'm sorry, this wouldn't happen at Liverpool.
Right.
Even Tottenham, it wouldn't happen at.
Oh, riot.
We would sack Arteta ages ago. Man United would have sacked Arteta.
No, they stuck with Ole and they had a really bad patch.
No, but come on.
Anyway, listen. I think Edu will get sacked before Arteta does.
Well, hopefully they can both go in.
Let's talk about
Arteta needs to go.
Before we move on, Mendy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, do you want to talk about the Man City performances?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, we're running out of time.
There's so much to say. They
and also, Man City could have played the reserves and still battered us.
Gabriel Jesus looks really good at right.
Yeah, he does.
Didn't I write in the group chat that it was going to be 5 or 6?
You did.
You actually did.
It would have been 5 or 6.
And it hit three. It hit three. I said, yeah.
Greenish looks good as well, I thought.
I can't even analyze that game because we made it so easy for them.
It's true, you did.
No,
you
that video of the pressing that Mark sent.
Oh my god!
That made me
physically
sick.
By the way,
sick.
I didn't even send that in like one of the jokey things that we do. I actually sent that so you could witness that.
That was the most pathetic.
We did witness it. That's not, I watched it live.
It was honestly, it was like a really easy training game for them.
That would leave me fuming if I was an Arsenal fan. I would have been disgusted.
Norwich were more of a game.
But honestly, I can't even criticise the front players for that, because that's an Arteta tactic.
Yeah.
For us to stay in this behind the ball position. It's so positional and everything. And look at Tierney. Tierney, we've conceded 9 goals this season. I think Tierney's been responsible for like 6 of them.
But it's not his fault.
That's the thing, he's making good players worse.
He's making good players worse. The thing is, with Tierney, he's now having to play in build-up. He's having to be our main attacking weapon, and he's having to defend 1v1, and he's having to cover for the idiot who's always on the inside of him. You know when defenders are so... You know defenders are unathletic,
From Arsenal.
Just quickly, I just want to tell you one thing. You know when defenders are unathletic, and when the ball gets played on the inside of them or over the top, and then you can just watch by the way they're running back and they're recovering. It doesn't even look like Callum Chambers. Any time the ball gets played, he's like crouched over with his hands flailing. He doesn't even look like a professional human.
Oh, Gundogan
beating him in the air.
Callum
Chambers for that Jesus goal, the third goal, is an absolute disgrace. Honestly,
Rob Holding as well.
The worst thing was
Torres one.
He absolutely scared of Grealish because he's going to give away a penalty. So he decided not even to go near him. And guess who's right beside him as Grealish has come forward? The goalkeeper. Leno is acting like a centre back.
I'm
sick of all of them, man. I'm sick of Arteta, bro.
It's the same with Rob Holding. Like, one of the first things that you learn as a central defender or as a defender is the header.
Mm.
And these men are losing out to Ferran Torres and Gundogan.
I know we need to move on, but last question.
No, can we talk about Mendy?
No. Last question.
Oh, here we go.
Do you think maybe when the likes of Partey come back into the team, Gabriel come back into the team, is there any hope that you think maybe you'll
be slight improvements because they're better players?
Yeah,
14th
is what we can look forward to.
Tanya, honestly, there'll be slight improvements because when you have your better players, you will play better. But it's it's a squad game also. Yeah. And also, it's very clear that Arteta has to have everything perfect for him to even get a decent result out. So,
and his mate Pep was going ham in it. It was like,
oh yeah, do you know what? He's getting cringe now. He needs to stop bigging him up.
Can we he talk wants about to keep Mendy? Him in a job so he doesn't have any
threats. Let's talk about Mendy. I don't really want to talk about Mendy, to be honest.
No, okay, let's talk about the situation that Man City find themselves in, where it came out that they knew for 9 months and played this guy. And
oh my God, they were like,
yeah, so basically Mendy was being investigated for sexual assault. And Man City were like, we won't release it to the media. And
well, yeah, that's true, because he played against Spurs, didn't he?
Yeah, well, not even just that, but even like
Back end of last season,
he played in a training,
being in the
squad.
He was on the bench, but still, like, training, being in the squad.
Community Shield like, started.
It doesn't even matter. Like, if you've known that for 9 months and...
But we will say he has just been charged, so he hasn't been convicted.
9 months ago, it started with one. Now there's four cases four cases of rape and one case of sexual assault.
I definitely am of the opinion that there's no smoke without fire.
Yeah.
But we have to reel it in a little bit we'll see when, if he's convicted, then throw away the key.
I don't know.
But he's just been charged right now, so we'll see. But obviously, it's just scary, isn't it? And
it's very scary. It's,
He just goes, there's literally nothing more we could say about it. We obviously
I think it's damning that 9 months after that they knew about it, and then when it gets released in the media, then they suspend Mendy.
Yeah, I think that's terrible for Man City.
That's just like a PR stunt.
Yeah,
pretty much. Let's hope then Man City. Well, we all hope for the downfall of Man City this season.
Because if like every club is bigging up their women's teams, and if Man City's women's team are looking at that, like, wow, for 9 months you knew about this. And then what do you guys think about us?
Yeah, it's true. It's a good point, actually. Very good point.
But anyway, let's talk about Villa versus Brentford.
I thought we were going to touch on the Maitland-Niles situation.
Oh yeah, let's talk about Maitland-Niles. Way more.
What do you lot think? Because one of my friends said he shouldn't air the dirty laundry.
No, I think he should.
Good. At the end of the day, this is his career.
Good on him. I'm sorry, I said this in the group. I feel so sorry for Maitland-Niles. Like, I feel like, imagine you're a player that's, has he come through your academy?
Yeah.
Loves Arsenal. He's not given the minutes to play, but this club still don't want to let him go to another club to play.
No, what Arteta is doing is disgraceful. Honestly, if you think about it, a year ago, Maitland-Niles was the man of the match in the Community Shield. He got selected for England, and it was his birthday, so it was the highest of highs for him that day.
Yeah.
And then since then, he gets dropped out of the team for Bellerin.
Arsenal even blocked a move.
We rejected him 15 million from Wolves. He stayed. He was given the assurances that he's going to play. As soon as the transfer window closed, he gets dropped for Bellerin. We signed Cedric as well. And he's getting played. He's getting dropped for Chambers. Then he gets loaned out to West Brom, comes back. And he's even said this season, I'll play right back for the team. I don't think necessarily I think genuinely he wants to be a centre mid, but he said, I will be a right back for the team.
Apparently he also said he wants to play right back because that's how he got selected for England.
Exactly, yeah, that's the thing as well. He got selected as a fullback, And there would be an outside chance that he'll probably get paid, selected ahead of Chilwell, because Chilwell wasn't used at all in the Euros. You know, he could be a backup to Shaw. And this is a guy, this is your career, yeah. Football's a short career.
Exactly.
He's got every right to be frustrated because he wants to go play. Everton were offering, and Everton, you know, one thing we all know about Everton is they get injuries at fullback and they get injuries in centre mid.
They always need fullbacks.
He's definitely going to play games, isn't it? So I think he's absolutely within his right. And think about how many players we played ahead of him. This team played Socrates at right back ahead of him.
Against
Brentford, Nuno Tavares came on ahead of him. So Arteta is playing with this guy's career, so he has every right.
I mean, it's awful because we also know that he's had like mental health issues and stuff like that. And then the stuff that happened with his mom as well in the past has really impacted the way that he's come through the club. So it is really awful how the club has treated him. They've had talks today. Apparently now he is in Arteta's plans.
He's just going to keep him on the bench for another season, man. It's disgraceful. And I feel like that's one of the worst things you can do. He's an academy graduate. Mark, if that's how Liverpool treated Trent, how would you feel? It's embarrassing. It's one of your academy graduates who's played for England. Like, he's succeeded.
And
he's
as successful. Mark likes to say, Amazon are filming all of this.
It goes back to
office and punch Arteta.
I think it goes back to the point of Arteta just not being a great man manager. And no, I think no, it's not all. Just, I mean, it's come to the fore with Ainsley Maitland-Niles, but to me, it just looks like none of those players are playing for the manager. None of them. Not just Ainsley, but as in anyone who steps on that pitch just aren't playing for the manager and aren't buying into his principles.
Exactly. He's alienated half of their friends as well, isn't it? So why would you want to, and look at the results as well. None of these players, everyone is low on confidence. So when you're playing badly, Arteta will take you out of the team. So how are you going to regain confidence?
Yeah. And Aubameyang said at the weekend that the team needed to have like a meeting and stuff and get things straight. But I don't think that's going to do anything because it's the same manager, it's the same tactics, it's going to be the same players.
And I said this about.
And if Norwich score first in a few weeks' time on the 11th of September, it's going to be a riot. But we need to move on because we're desperately out of time almost. So Villa versus Brentford, 1-1. Tony and Buendia off the mark. That's really all that there is about that. I mean, Brentford remain unbeaten. Aston Villa not really hitting the heights that people suggested.
Give them time. Let them cook. Let them cook. It's a new team. They've got a gel first. Three games, man.
Good goal from Buendia.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Good header from... Was it a header, was it? Or Tony's goal?
No, Tony, he looped it. Right foot.
Good finish.
Good to see them both get off the mark, actually.
I think Tony will get goals.
In a pretty low-key game. Definitely. Yeah, I mean, after watching Brentford at Arsenal, not at Arsenal, but against Arsenal on the first day of the season, it's just the way that they play, there'll be plenty of chances for Tony to kind of score from as the season progresses.
That's
for
one
sure.
thing I really like about Brentford. They don't change their identity. It's just always attack. It's their first thought. I like
that. Did you hear Paul Merson when he was trying to pronounce the young player who lived at Aston Villa? Chukwuemeka.
I didn't actually hear that.
Does he have a nickname or something?
Oh, my days. Brighton 0, Everton 2. So Everton keeping up. Tanya's celebrating. What are you celebrating?
Our admin is actually on smoke. Like, look at this. Tottenham Hotspur and Athletic Co. Ltd. is delighted to announce the arrival of a new royal. And here we go.
I mean, this is great for the Emerson. Listeners, isn't it? Because they have no idea.
Yeah, we have no idea.
Tottenham announced the signing of a right back called Emerson Royal, and they made a joke about Royal. Move on.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Sorry.
So, Everton keep up there, unbeaten. And I think it's unbeaten, right?
Yeah, yeah. They've won
points.
Twice and got a point.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's it. Drew against Leeds. But Damari Gray, I think.
Oh, that was a beautiful goal, you know.
Do you know what? I always thought Baller. That he should have been used more at Leicester.
The
fact that he went to Bayer Leverkusen to get games and get his confidence back up, and now he's got a move at Everton. Mm. And I feel like Rafa Benitez, he loves a winger, doesn't he? And I feel like he would definitely use Damari Gray. I think Damari Gray is one to look out for.
Yeah,
I think he's got a lot of quality, and I think it's good for him to get games.
I still can't believe they got him for 1.5 million.
I know, it's a joke.
It's ridiculous. In terms of that, the English tax that you see nowadays, I know it wasn't Premier League club to Premier League club, but if you're Bayer Leverkusen, you're surely thinking, I'm not sure what his contractual situation at Leverkusen was, but that is a steal.
He only signed recently, so obviously, yeah. Definitely.
But yeah, I think that's a great signing. And the penalty situation.
DCL and Richarlison. Richarlison is a spoiled brat. Someone should have slapped him around the head.
Yeah. I'm glad someone said that because it's just nice. It's because, I mean, DCL took one, buried one last week.
He's the penalty taker.
Yeah. It's true.
What right do you have to take that ball off him and just say, I'm on this pen?
Yeah. Honestly, Seamus Coleman should have said, I'll slap you if you don't give him the ball.
I think
right
he did. Like, they had to hold him back.
Nah.
Richarlison just bought
it. Do you know what, though? He looks like he's got anger issues, though. Like,
do you see him celebrating with an angry face?
He's like,
I'm happy, but...
I don't know, crack a smile, love. Do you know what I mean?
Nah, but Everton look good so far. Obviously, they have to play against...
I mean, Rafa Benitez, you know what you're going to get.
Benitez,
man, yeah. You know what you're going to get.
Mark, all right, does it not bother you at all?
A little bit.
I mean, it doesn't bother me, like, drastically. I think he has every right.
A lot of Liverpool fans would say, before Klopp, that was one of your best ever managers.
Yeah, and he still is.
And he won you the Champions League.
Yeah, and
now he's coaching Everton.
But I think you just have to, sometimes you have to take life into consideration. His family have never moved from Liverpool. Mm-hmm. All still live there permanently, and I think this was his chance to say, you know what, I can go and live with my family for a few years. And
if he was Man United manager, would you be more upset?
I don't think United would hire him.
If he was, though, hypothetically,
probably, yeah, because there's more chance of him actually winning something at United. I think with Everton, I definitely think he'll do well at Everton. I don't see them winning anything, but if they continue kind of where they're at now, I can see them challenging for Europa League.
I think the people he has to win over is not Mark or anything. Exactly. It's the Everton fans for saying that Everton won like a big club. He was.
They'll say, "Oh, who was that manager we had after Angelotti?" I deleted it from my brain.
No, but if
but
he,
I know a Liverpool fan who's got Benitez in a, on the back of a shirt in a case.
But didn't they do something outside of what stadium was it? They put a horrible sign up about Benitez.
Near where they thought he lived, but they got the wrong house, which was funny.
But if Everton win a trophy under Benitez, I think all of that gets swept under the rug.
They ain't winning. That's a big. They're not winning.
I mean, Carabao Cup. Mark said it last week. I think they should go for
and
it.
And what's that? What? Three? My boy's got 3-3 now. So what? Are you still chatting?
I just don't buy into Everton, to be honest.
What do you mean you don't buy into Everton?
And
you bought into that. You bought every single thing you could buy into them last season.
Yeah. Talking about winning leagues.
Talking about winning leagues and that.
It's savings recorded. On them last season. But you know what? Get this recording out.
No, you get the recording out.
I'm sure I would.
Three of us. And also, no, she can get away with it because she said it before we turned on the mic.
Oh, yeah.
And then we recounted it. So
there we go.
But we all heard it though. So anyway, who's at Brighton?
Newcastle versus Southampton. Sorry, we are strapped for time.
Yeah, no, but just it was Brighton who Everton beat. It was 2-0. Yeah. Finished 2-0.
Damari Gray and DCL.
Damari Gray and DCL. It looks like Everton are settling into a 4-4-2 old school, two centre mids, two wide players, Townsend and Gray, and then just Calvert-Lewin and Richarlison up top.
I think Everton should have gone for Zuma.
Yeah, that would have been a shout. Brilliant signing for them.
That's a good signing for West Ham.
They got my boy Godfrey.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, but just Godfrey because Michael Keane and Mina can't defend.
Mina's a child come on.
Yeah. Newcastle versus Southampton. It was a bit epic late on. Alan Saint-Maximin thought he won it, and then Southampton got a penalty and James Ward-Prowse buried it as he missed a reliable, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. What, you still hating on Southampton or what?
Me? when do I hate on Southampton?
You hated on Southampton after the first game and then they've got 2 points for the next game. So what I'm saying is, you know...
It's fair because Arsenal have 0 points, so 2 points is more than that, so... do you know what I really rate?
Are you not going to speak up for yourself?
What do you want me to say?
I just want to know why you thought Southampton were relegated already.
2 points. I didn't say that. I never said that. So when you asked for my predictions, did you want me to just name two relegation candidates?
But you were like shouting out. You were having a go at Southampton. They lost.
So who
players,
was your, who was your relegation prediction?
It's not about me right now, is it?
It is about you. Because I want to know. You. Listen, we'll come back to this next week. I think you might have said Palace or something. They were also on 2 points.
No one said Palace, to be fair. But do you know what I really rate? Ward-Prowse was a subject of a bid from Aston Villa, but he chose to stay at Southampton, sign a new deal, and he's putting performances on the pitch, which might help Southampton stay away. It's going to be really difficult, but might help Southampton stay up.
I still think Ward-Prowse will be gone in the summer. It's that type of contract that protects the value, bumps the players' wages up, keeps him happy, and then because he can't stay at Southampton. I know he loves it there and he's club captain, but quality player and I just can't see him at Southampton for too much longer. But can I ask you a question about Newcastle?
Yeah.
In trouble. Big
what
trouble.
What are we saying? In trouble?
Oh, big trouble.
Long season to go, or are
they
we saying
Santiago what's his name? Nunez. Yeah. Like if you grew up and you watched the film Goal.
I used to
film was
Mexican strike going to Newcastle.
No, but they've got the same name.
You got the same name. That must be a joke, bro.
But he's going into their academy. He's not going into the first team.
Yeah, and then the Newcastle admin put "And the dream begins," which was the slogan for the film.
Oh God! Yeah, I'm but worried about
film,
Newcastle.
In the film, he becomes a top striker and signs for Real Madrid. So never.
But
know.
Wilson started the season scoring goals. Yeah.
Well, Wilson's now injured for a month. So
really? Oh my God, are you serious?
Yeah, he's out for a month.
Joe Linton.
this guy. they have signed a couple of players today. I don't know who they are.
You know
are,
what made me laugh though? They were interested in Oliver Skipp. I'm thinking, step aside, big man. If I can even call you big man about you're interested in Oliver Skipp.
I saw you tweet earlier that you want Neves to partner Højbjerg.
Yeah, man.
So where does
that leave Oliver Skipp?
No, Oliver Skipp can still play.
Where?
Left back.
No,
Just answer this question. Answer this question quickly about Oliver Skip. Yeah, how long is it before he looks for a Welsh or Irish grandfather so he can get international? Because he ain't ever played for England. Yeah.
Well, you can't say that because Harry Winks played for England.
He's 20 years old. Give him a chance.
Harry Winks played for
Harry Winks played in the dark days of Ross Barkley.
Livermore played for England.
Yeah, those days are gone.
Huddleston played for England.
Huddleston, that was throwback.
Yeah, Oliver, skip that dream, bro.
So Arsenal haven't scored a goal this season, but the team that we're playing next has Norwich scored their first goal of the season in a 2-1 defeat against. Doesn't matter.
So Yunchi, my God.
Wait, did we
get conned?
Wait.
I didn't. I'll be real. I'll give you your dues.
Wait, even back then.
Mark just spotted me.
Even back then?
Huh?
Did you get conned?
No, not about like back then, but Abdi's the first person who I know who called it.
No, but what I'm saying is that fantastic season he had at Leicester.
Oh, yeah.
Where people were like, oh, why didn't Arsenal sign him? Yeah. He's only 20 million. Listen.
Oh, yeah, I forgot you guys were.
No, we didn't. We weren't interested.
You're not interested, so why are you talking about
you were interested in Evans at one point, weren't you?
Yeah, Evans, but like loads of fans were saying, like, why did we sign Mustafi when we could have signed
Siyunchi spent the season on the bench though. Yeah.
He had a great
season, but people were forgetting the fact that he was next to Johnny Evans. Johnny Evans holding his hand. And now Fofana's coming. Fofana doesn't need anyone to hold his hand. This guy just gone mad now.
He has no brains.
Just to be fair to him, he's playing with
Amate,
Leicester's sixth choice centre mid.
Yeah,
that's just a random figure I plucked out of the air. But he's playing at centre back with Leicester's probably last choice centre mid at the moment. Just to be fair to him.
No, but he looked crazy for Turkey. But as well.
Yeah.
But it's Turkey though. Come on, man.
What do you mean?
No, they weren't a good side.
Nah, I'll be real. Everyone was tipping them as dark horses before the Euros.
You were as well.
No, I was, but obviously I got it wrong.
You're guessing Turkey, bro.
I got it wrong.
Bare contradictions today, Tom. Everton, I'm not convinced about Everton. 1 year Everton. Later. Or 1 year earlier. Are they going to win the league?
Turkey are going to go bare far in the Euros.
Well, everyone thought that, didn't they?
See, Turkey, man. They're not going to do anything. No, but that second goal from Leicester, quality goal.
Yeah, the way
they worked it across the pitch.
Vardy continues to score.
Goal and assist.
Good.
I was literally waiting for that moment. What are you going to say about my boy Vardy?
Here we go. I was just nodding.
What is it?
JV9, my boy, goal and assist. You know, he's doing the business, isn't it? It's quite another quality goal.
Do you know him personally?
Why are you calling JV9 moist you?
Do you know why I was late? I was getting some snus.
Getting some snus. I rate that.
You call me a moist you?
JV9.
JV9, that's my guy.
Albrighton said that after the game, he said that Jamie Vardy came up to him as they were getting on the coach and said that today he was going to assist Albrighton
goal.
Yeah.
It's a good thing to say post-match, you know, because no one can verify it. But
it's true.
He probably says that before every game, and this was the one where it happened. Like, I'm going to assist you today.
I'm on the bench today.
What do you guys think of Leicester? Because it hasn't been convincing.
They lost to West Ham last Monday. So
more than lost.
It was a 4-1.
But they were down to 10 men, though.
Even before, when they had 11 men, they weren't in the game. Yeah.
But then they've got, that's now 2 wins they've got at least. They're at least off the mark. But you look at their squad, innit? I feel like everyone would be a lot more confident about if Fofana and Evans weren't injured.
Oh, yeah, Fofana. You know? I forgot about Fofana.
Fofana, you know.
Let's move on.
It was interesting to me that I know we're tight for time, so we'll move on after this point. We'll do that anyway. But it was interesting to me that Perez, who got sent off the week before, he didn't fancy bringing in Iheanacho or Daka as his direct replacement. He went for the safe option in Albrighton, and I don't know why.
To bring in Sumare as well, isn't it?
It all interesting to me. I mean, Iheanacho, was it 17 in the second half of last season? 17 goals. Daka, don't expect him to come in and nail down a spot straight away, but that could have been a chance, you know, Norwich away.
They're looking at Ademola Lookman.
Yeah. No. There was a disallowed goal as well.
McLean. Yeah, that
what
was.
Do you think?
Yeah. Cantwell standing right in front of him. He's definitely
in. Yeah, that was.
Did you hear what what's his face said? What's his name?
Farkar.
Yeah. Do you hear what he said?
No.
He goes, Schmeichel is at least 10 inches taller than and Cantwell, and you're telling me that he can't see the ball.
Yeah, he just got a 16-foot goalkeeper. No,
and then when they showed the replay, Cantwell and Schmeichel are practically the same height. Let's move on to West Ham versus.
My boy Ozan Kabak joined Norwich now.
Yeah.
So be interested. We've got Norwich in the League Cup just after the international break at some point. So that
they're our first game back. So he'll probably be.
Does he realise what the task is looking like? He's going to be overworked.
Yeah, more than overworked. I mean, the likelihood is he'll be playing Championship football next season. Yeah. But
no, he's only alone though, isn't it? So. He can.
Is it alone? Yeah.
Yeah. It's alone. He's on season long loan, but within like
alone,
I think it's like a 1.15 million option or something like that. So I feel like I won't surprise me if he's playing in Premier League next season for a different club.
Yeah, probably.
West Ham versus Palace. This was an exciting game.
Man, like Antonio keeps going.
Yeah, I was about to say. Keeps going at Titania's delight, obviously. No dirty dancing celebration today.
Oh really?
No.
Not this time.
No, not this time.
That was a quality finish as well, though. Smashed it.
Yeah, it was left foot as well. Mm-hmm. If I remember correctly.
But
I just read the thing. Rent boy Cantwell at the double.
Because Conor Gallagher used to play for Chelsea.
Yeah, we know.
Because
I was confused. I was like, Norwich was the game before. But
yeah, that's
let me
what
tell
I'm...
you about that second goal. What a finish. Like the flick with his left foot and he just back like that's I think we said it last season, like when he was playing for West Brom, that he looked really good in that West Brom.
He was.
Which struggled. At Palace, they're gonna play attacking football under Vieira. Do you think he'll flourish? Do you think he'll get more goals?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, he looks like he's a player. He looks like a goal scoring midfielder, you know. He looks a bit, well, not exactly, but he's a bit Mason Mount, especially those finishes. I've seen Mason Mount do those kind of finishes, so we'll see in it, but Palace
signed Edward from Celtic.
They did, 15 million.
Why are we not all over that? And Arsenal?
Million?
What are we talking about?
Around that mark.
That's a good signing.
15 million, that is a very good signing.
He's French, innit? And their manager's a French legend, so he's probably why he went in.
But for 15 million, I thought Celtic would have held out for more.
Yeah.
These clubs nowadays, their valuations is all different. Well, only when it comes to Arsenal, that's what they want more.
He didn't have a great season last season in particular. Yeah. I don't think that done his price value any kind of help.
But it's still a good signing for Palace because Benteke and Ayew hasn't scored in 37 games.
Benteke's probably got like two in about 50.
That's a lethal forward.
That
is horrid.
No, but Benteke scored 8 goals last season. Compared to that.
Junior, 8 goals is not an achievement.
No, but you always said Benteke right, scored 1 goal last season.
I swear, I thought you was going to say you go to the Prem and score 8 goals. I thought you was about to say that.
You go to the Prem and score 8 goals.
I probably wouldn't score a lot because I'm a midfielder.
Get better assists.
Count my assist.
The assist man, cool.
I'll do more than Thiago.
You're a midfielder,
No, he's not.
I can't remember the last time I touched the pitch.
Vieira, do you think now he'll kick on with Palace? Or do you think it's more of the same?
They're probably losing. Got to wait and see with Palace and Vieira. I think it's too early to call.
He's done more than Frank de Boer.
It's not difficult to do Frank de Boer, is it?
All right,
we've got Frank de Boer now, innit, in the Premier League. Yeah, Mikel Arteta.
All right. He got sacked in 5 games.
Well, hopefully 2 more to go.
Wait, if we lose to Norwich, I'm done.
No, don't.
Burnley versus Leeds. Does anybody care?
I'm happy for Bamford. Got selected for England.
Yeah, and he scored.
Yeah, big up Bamford. I like that guy.
And we were talking before Tanya arrived because she came on a late one today. But Rafinha, I think he's going to have a good season this season.
He's going to a top club soon. Mark my words.
No, that was a proper striker's baller. Goal from Bamford, just in front of the goal, 6-yard box, in
position.
Did you
say about Wood's goal as well?
No.
Say the same.
No, you can't.
He brushed it on the goal line.
It looked like it didn't even touch him. And Wood celebrated like he scored from outside the box.
That's his old team, isn't it?
Yeah. Spurs versus Watford. Top of the league, 9 points, 3 goals scored, 0 conceded.
You might as well give him the trophy already, you know?
Yeah, I know. The way Tottenham fans are celebrating...
Oh, come on, don't be so ridiculous.
Even Tottenham fans aren't that diligent.
No, to be honest,
no, they are.
Any Tottenham fans doing that, it's embarrassing.
I've seen loads that you've been liking
as
well.
It's actually embarrassing.
Tanya, you are a different person on Twitter than you are in real life.
She retweets all of the top of the league and all that
stuff.
Yeah,
she does. Oh, and then she comes in and goes, guys, it's ridiculous.
Are you being serious?
I've definitely seen some tweets.
Tanya, I've seen what you like.
Nah.
Don't chat.
Well, I might be liking the tweets, but it doesn't.
No, it's the same energy. Keep that same energy.
All right, we're going to win the league. What do you want me to say? We're going to win the league.
Yeah, haven't conceded a goal. Are you guys... Do you guys want
to... Marcus Rosselin.
You
Margaret rustling a packet with the sweet, and I was telling him, move away from the mic, brother.
It's fine. You can
rustle away. Rustle away.
That sounds really wrong.
Yeah, what? Rustle?
Rustle away.
I didn't know that was a thing.
All right, man. What were we talking
about?
But
anyway, listen, we don't need to spend too much time on this.
No, top of the league, Arsenal bottom on my days. Reasons to celebrate.
Inject it into my veins. Inject it. I'm happy.
How long do you think that's going to last?
I don't know if it will last very long, because I think the way we're playing, we're just getting through. And I think, yeah, that's probably testament to the way we've defended.
Watford had a lot of good chances.
Watford had a lot of good chances, but the thing is, you can have chances in football, but if you're not scoring them, it means absolutely nothing.
This is a different Tanya, guys. This is a different Tanya. Last season, when Tottenham were winning and the conceding chances, no, guys, can't play like this. It's not sustainable.
We've got Nuno in.
Now,
what the hell?
Let me tell you this right now, yeah. If Arsenal were top of the league after three games, I'd be chatting a lot. So you better as well, might as well do it. I'm not
Make the most of it.
I'm not going to judge you for it.
If you let me finish, that would be great. Go on. Thanks. But I don't actually think the performance was that great from us. I'll be honest. I think Watford, they gave us a real game. Sarr was a massive threat. What a player he is. But we got the job done. Lovely free kick from Son. I think it was a bit of a deflection, though. But we'll take it. Second half, I don't think we played that great.
I thought it was the bounce.
Yeah, it was a little bounce. Yeah.
Well, Son is
said lovely free kick. I swear that was a cross.
It was a cross that bounced in, bro.
Oh, yeah, no, it was a cross.
Yeah. It was one of those ones that is like in the corner and then you like... You just put it in as close to the goalkeeper and hope that
honestly,
something happens.
Sky Sports and BT, yeah, they robbed us. Twice I've had to allegedly stream the
game.
See,
you know what?
Fun joke team.
I said this before you got here. I said you actually got shagged two weekends in a row.
Nah. They decided to play the Burnley.
Do you
want to
know what's funny?
I'd much rather watch Burnley versus
Why
Leeds.
Did they... Like, Spurs are getting treated like little
kids. I mean.
It's Europa Conference League.
Absolute Man. Joke
No, but
team.
In all serious tans, you've got to be like happy in terms of
Buzzing.
Three games, three wins. Only team in the league to do it.
And you signed Emerson Royal.
Yeah.
Couple of new signings. Squad is...
Looking a little healthier.
Sissoko's you've gone. Kept your best
I
player.
Sissoko's gone to
yes,
Watford.
I know. And he played against us and he was still crap.
Tanya, I think there's an issue with you where you don't really appreciate the good things where you always talk about... Was still negative. No, so like Sissoko's gone and you're like, oh, but with Aurier and Doherty and all this long.
I know, and Spurs fans get annoyed at me for it, but I think that's just the Spurs in me. Like being a Spurs fan, you get disappointed a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. So it's very hard to be positive, isn't it?
But you could say it's a pretty positive time for you at the moment.
Yeah, no,
it's just in general.
It is.
Nine points out of nine.
I absolutely love the geezer.
I haven't watched enough of Spurs to kind of say what your style of football will be moving forward. But at the end of the day, it's points over style of football, especially in this early stage of the season. It's points over style
Romero's
of play.
Not played. He's played in the Conference League games or qualifiers, but he's not. Started.
Have we spoken about Kane? Did we talk about last week about how he said he's going to stay, or was it after that?
Yeah,
I thought we did talk
true.
About it.
Yeah, Kane. I mean, he
got you through.
Yeah, no, he did. He did. He needs to warm up a little bit. I think you know he's one of the last players to come back, so.
But it's a good thing Tottenham are winning in August because that's when all the awards are given out, isn't it? And all the top trophies are given out, isn't it? In August,
yeah. How dare you?
I hate giving.
We can't banter because we don't have a goal of the month.
Yeah, in training. Yeah. I hate giving praise to Tottenham players, but Son is absolutely elite, isn't he?
I love him.
Mm-hmm. He is top level.
That is like. My player. I absolutely love Son. I mean.
Hopefully he leaves Tottenham soon, you know. You can get a good fever because now he's signed a new contract.
Well, I don't know about that. We'll see. But I think defensively, I know I don't credit both of these players a lot, as you know, but Sanchez and Dier, I have to say, they have been defending very well.
Mm. Well, they're keeping Romero out of the team and they've earned the manager's trust, and I think...
It's crazy. It's
Tanganga's
crazy.
Still playing right back.
Yeah, Tanganga played well again. Yeah. Impressed with him. And I think that's why the Tomiyasu deal, I don't know, maybe we were thinking he's going to be the right back that... Can also play centre back. Maybe we didn't need him in the end. We obviously signed a right back now.
Wasn't it? I thought it was that fell through because Tottenham didn't want to pay the fee.
To be honest, I don't know. It could be that, but either way,
it's a good pair of fullbacks you've got now. Regulon,
it's
Royal.
Not bad. I mean,
there's one like
we've got four right backs
depth.
Now though. Like four.
Oh yeah, Tanganga, Doherty, Aurier, Mad.
Tanganga, and now Emerson, which is just unnecessary. We're moving like South.
Oh wait, so is Tanganga going to move centre back?
I don't know. This is the thing. A lot of people now are suggesting that we might move to a back three now, potentially.
It's weird. It's weird. He hasn't played.
I know. It's strange.
Tanganga would do really well at centre back.
I think so. But for
me, it's just the height issue, isn't it?
I will say this, though. I wanted a midfielder in the transfer window. I just think we lack creativity. Like, Dele Alli, honestly, I don't know how many times I have to say it to Spurs fans. The guy is so washed. Mm-hmm. So washed. Like, I don't know what they're watching at times. Like, they're saying, oh, he's working really hard because he's playing in, like, a number eight position. But for me, he's just not that guy.
The working really hard. Man in Tesco worked like, really hard. Go work Tesco, innit?
Working hard. He doesn't... And he loses the ball. He slows the game down. It's the same old thing with this guy. Like, I'm genuinely starting to dislike him. But anyway.
Let's talk about your boy. Your guy. Tanguy.
Oh, interesting.
Is he ever going to play again?
Confirmed he's staying.
I don't know. To be honest, I'll be really annoyed if he doesn't get game time because we've chosen to keep him. Therefore, we need to start believing in him or give him the opportunity to play.
I don't even think it's a believing in him thing. I think there's something deeper because when he played last season, he was your best player.
No, I agree, but it's just...
I mean, other than Harry Kane.
Yeah.
They need to work through whatever issues there is with Ndombele because I can't have him sitting on the bench.
Was he on the bench?
He's too good to be on the bench.
He hasn't played.
He's not been in the squad.
He's not played. He's not been in the squad. He's not been on the bench.
He's too good
to be on the bench. But half of that was there was a stage where he didn't... Just wasn't
too much shisha and coffee.
Yeah, he just wasn't on it in training or even turning up.
Like, yeah, apparently he turned up like he was a bit overweight. But then when you're seeing Insta stories with him and Aurier and he looks so slim, you're like, it doesn't add up.
Yeah, but they do have like a 2 week fitness thing that they do to get back in shape.
Don't get me wrong. Look, it's his responsibility as well. He needs to fix up this season.
He's a record signing though.
So. Exactly, he's our record signing, so he needs to pattern up, man.
Got to try and make it work. And also, you don't want Dele Alli in the team, so it'd be good for him to step up.
Don't want Dele in the team, but I love Nuno so much.
Just because of time.
Yes.
Let's move on.
Oh, but I want to talk about how we're top of the league and we're going to win the league.
So Greenwood to the rescue again.
Just glance over that.
Man United versus Wolves.
Man United got slapped up so much.
Really annoyed me. That is just typical United.
It's typical Wolves as well.
And Wolves, don't even get me started.
But as me and Mark, were you here? We were talking before the...
just call us the punctual ones.
The punctual ones, as we were talking before.
Man's early 1 week here.
Mark is always here on time.
I'm not having that.
No, you're always texting the group like, guys, I'm going to be like 10, 15 minutes late. I'm on my bike, so.
Late. 10, 15 minutes late.
That could not sound anything more than Mark.
Mark, I never knew you were Northern.
Mad. I just woke up one morning and...
No, but we were talking about how good Wolves have looked without actually getting any rewards for how good they've looked.
You know who's a baller? That Trincao. Is it Trincao?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He
left Fred for dead man. Fred.
Oh my god!
One of my friends tweeted. He said Fred is the most strippiest hoe ever. The way he just fell to the ground, like Trincao's not even that strong, bro. He just like no, he just picks up, bro.
And
good block by Wan-Bissaka though.
Oh, Wan-Bissaka was really good in that.
Also,
game, I'm not gonna lie.
Good double save by De Gea.
Quality that's the De Gea of old. Boy, that save.
But
two saves.
Again, Greenwood to the rescue. And they've just signed Cristiano Ronaldo.
Oh, they make me sick.
Can we take it? Let's take it back a second, though, because I don't think it was just about the missed chances for Wolves. For me, the worrying thing, not necessarily worrying, but maybe annoying, I'm not sure how United fans feel, was just the fact that Wolves dominated the game, Wolves played better, Wolves passed the ball better, Wolves held on to the ball better and created the better chances.
Stats? So like I know people don't really listen to stat, but the XG stat, it was like Wolves were like 2.5 and Man United were like 0.3. Yeah.
Sancho was playing and I didn't realise.
What did you call him in the chat again?
Something Aaron Lennon.
Expensive Aaron Lennon.
Yeah, expensive Aaron Lennon.
Well, I've heard people call him the drill Mkhitaryan. He might be a flop at United, you know, because
no, he's only 21. I
know he's only 21, and people are far too reactionary.
Yeah, no one's judging him off of that one game.
But it did look funny.
But you better fix up quick, though, innit? Honestly, for that money, you better fix up quick, though, innit?
I saw a compilation of like
the compilation. He's playing.
But that goalkeeper, goodness me, man, made me sick.
But you know, they've got Ronaldo to come into that team. And
how do we think he'll do though, Ronaldo?
Listen, I think
he's obviously going to score goals, man.
I was going to say the games that Man United drew last season, Ronaldo will help win them.
He's 36, but he scored 100 goals or around that mark in 3 seasons at Juventus.
So what are we saying? 12 in all comps this season.
He scored 28 goals last season in the league.
29
goals.
Lukaku got 23 in the league last season. Ronaldo got 29.
Yeah.
But listen, Lukaku's young. He's got a lot of energy behind him. Ronaldo's is not obviously not going to be the Ronaldo we saw of 12 years ago
it's
in the Prem.
It's just that quality, man.
He's going to be the guy who's United's main man up top, the striker, the one who doesn't really drop deep, the one who doesn't press so much, but the one who puts the ball in the back of the net.
And that's what Man United have lacked.
And I'm sorry, I don't want to hear their fans moan about the Glazers.
Anyone
United
who says
fans can come for me all they want, because I'm sorry. Yeah, they might have their issues with them, right? But this season, they cannot say that Ollie's not been backed. They've got Varane. They've got Ronaldo in. Who else have they signed? Sancho. Come on. And it's like,
and
I
they
just
got
hate
rid of
this.
Daniel James for 30 million.
25.
You absolute mugs.
Oh, my God.
Well, they've been after him for two seasons, so that won't make sense.
I'm pretty sure well, there's a sprinter who played in the 100-meter final million. Would be more effective.
Now, downgrading club, but upgrading manager. Certainly yeah. for Dan James.
He's going to learn a lot under
he's probably Bielsa. He's probably playing right back like Stuart Dallas or left back.
But you know, Bielsa loves a quick winger. That's
yeah,
it.
Runners, yeah.
But I'm going to say this now. With what Man United have done in this transfer window, the expectation for Ollie should be to win the league.
Yep.
League they or Champions League, anything else is a failure.
There's no excuses anymore. You have to win the league.
Like Ronaldo and Varane bring winning mentalities.
Yeah. And you got a top winger. That's what I say, Sancho. With Sancho, I'm not waiting around for you.
Mate,
you have to be.
Scary.
I'm not saying give Sancho time or anything like that. You were bought for like 7 yard mil. Like people were getting onto Pepe.
Yeah,
76
million
thing,
is fair.
But do you think they needed a DM more than a Ronaldo?
1,000%.
They still haven't addressed
Basuma's
that.
Basuma's still there. You know, like
they wanted to get Neves.
Camavinga they let slip as well. Just signed for Real Madrid.
Man United, the depth now. Maybe not be quality, but I'm just numbers wise. It's
no,
ridiculous.
It
Mark was listing out all the forwards. They've got Cavani staying. You've got Martial, Rashford, Sancho, Greenwood, Ronaldo. It's a joke. Like, Man United,
Greenwood.
They have to actually. And you've also got Bruno and Pogba and Van der Beek and Mata and Lingard.
Oh,
and
Van der Beek, that annoys me.
The numbers
as well.
Are ridiculous.
Oh, my God, I want Van der Beek.
Okay.
Man's turned into a chef. Send Van der Beek.
I know, but that is actually how you
oh,
say
no,
it.
Oh no! Before we move on from
cakes,
this game,
I'm joking. It probably is.
Before we move on from this game, Mark, I aired you out two times in this podcast, but I'm gonna move to someone else here who was chatting about my boy Adama.
Did he score?
But that's the thing.
Well,
that
right.
was not
that
game
why.
Wasn't on the dot. That was a top performance from Adama.
No, he
was the best.
You
were hating on him.
No,
you were hating on him. You said Adama is dead.
No.
All right.
No, I didn't. I said
so
he can't score. He has no end product. That's what I said.
You just admit you were hating on Adama.
Just admit that you make up your own things to sell your agendas.
All right. Adama, 20 goals, 20 assists this season from Adama.
All right. Have we left Dreamland? Can we come back? Yeah? Okay, cool.
He was he bossed that game. Though.
No, he did. But my problem with Adama Traore is not
end
that
product,
he.
I agree.
That he can dribble.
Do you know what?
That
no,
was
just,
his fault in this game, though.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. In this particular game, no one can scream end product. He put it on a plate for many moves.
No, he did. But you need players at the end of it.
When he went through both Pogba and Fred, that was disgusting, man. The guy
yeah,
is.
Yeah, all.
All right.
Beast.
We have a new system for Man of the Week. So we're going to go in order. This week, the order is Abdi Jr., Mark. Tanya. So Abdi, give us your man of the week.
I actually don't have one, but off the top of my head, I'm going to go for the guy I went from last week. Mikel Antonio, another goal, another assist. Baller.
All right, so me, I'm going to go with Conor Gallagher for two goals. The second goal in particular was fantastic. What a finish. Mark.
I'm going to give it to... It's quite tricky this week because the standout really is Antonio. So I'm going to give it to Ivan Toney, getting off the mark in the Prem. I think that will kickstart him now and he'll go on a little run of scoring goals. I see him getting, 12 in the league this season, maybe.
Yeah, fair. Tanya?
So I'm going to give it to a manager this week.
Okay.
And I'm going to be quite biased, but I think it's deserved. I'm going to give it to Nuno.
Okay.
Because I just remembered, and yeah, I've got to celebrate the little things. First time in our history, 3 opening games, 0 goals conceded.
Okay.
And I think that is an achievement for us, considering defence is one of our biggest issues, for me anyway. And I think Dyer and Sanchez have looked better. And yeah, you can't complain. Three wins, 3 clean sheets. So yeah, I'm going to give it to Nuno. I think he's done a really good job so far. So,
I mean,
yeah.
I think it's, I agree with everything you said, but it's man of the week, not man of the 3 weeks. But okay.
Okay, well, we can make little adjustments.
All right, okay. Everyone missed out Torres, who actually was really good against Arsenal.
That's a good point.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll end it there.
My man of the week is Ferran Torres.
So we'll end it there. Thank you for listening. And we'll be back with another exciting episode of We'll Talk About That Later.
Bye.
Peace out.
Woo! Sports Social Podcast Network.